This is Member Care Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Sandra, I'd like to welcome you back to MemCare by Radio. And as we thought about what we would talk about for our time together today, you talked about sharing regarding anger and anxiety and how we as people deal with it. And you shared that most people contend with either anger or anxiety, and sometimes more one than the other. So perhaps you could share what you meant by that.
Yes, I think we all get pushed to the limit at times if we live on planet Earth. We have stress in our lives just as a matter of life. And if we have a family or don't have a family or own a home or don't own a home or a car, etc., all those things, either way you go with it, it can cause you stress. And relationships can be stressful as well. And depending on how we're put together, personality-wise, and maybe related to things that we have experienced through life, including our growing up years, we may tend toward anger or anxiety when stress really gets high. And people who tend to get angry often exhibit that anger externally and lash out, whereas people who may tend more toward internalizing may become more anxious. Their anger may take a different form, or they may get very angry and internalize that, and no one really knows that they've done that. But I think there's a tendency for people who draw inward more than externally to become more anxious rather than angry, perhaps.
Okay.
At least that's been true in my experience with people.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, to be honest, I guess it would be true with me. I'm one of those people that tends to be angry. And a friend of mine, also a man, and I were actually pushed into talking about this between our wives, because my wife said that, yeah, when Scott gets angry, sometimes, rather than taking it out on somebody, he'll take it out on something. I've been known to pick up a hammer and just throw it onto the ground if I'm working on something. And my friend's wife said, "Wow, that's amazing, because my husband is exactly the same way." Whereas I don't feel that I'm very anxious very often. If there's something that needs to be done, rather than stressing about it, I just do it. But I can get angry. So I guess that's kind of what you're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. That's a good illustration. And I imagine that people, I'm not talking about you here, Scott, of course.
Thank you.
But some people who throw that hammer throw it at something other than the ground. They may throw it at something that matters, or a glass window or something. We're not always in the throes of either anger or anxiety. We are so emotionally caught up that we often don't think very clearly. And I once had a woman come to me who, not long ago actually, a 45-year-old or so, who did life the way you describe. Her tendency, I want to be sure our audience knows this isn't a male-female thing, because I really have had experiences with women who also exhibit anger, and I know lots of men who become anxious instead of angry. But this particular woman who I'm calling Jenny today was about 45, and she came to me expressing that her family, and particularly her husband, were very upset with her level of what she called irritability. She just had a very short fuse and was a person who spoke her mind no matter what topic was happening. So if she was irritable, she spoke her mind about that, and it wasn't going well in her house.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Well, now that we've given a couple of examples, does dealing with these issues, or do these issues tend to run in cycles, or is it something that's more cumulative?
I think it's about life and how stressful our life is. It's also one of those things I think that perhaps it may look like it's in cycles because you may be angry on Saturday and then angry again on Wednesday, but you didn't have any major anger problems on the days in between.
Right.
But I don't think it is really a cycle in the way we think of things coming back unprovoked. I think it's more similar to maybe not trimming your fingernails. If you don't trim your fingernails on a regular basis, you will end up harming someone, yourself or someone else, because they'll just keep growing and they'll get angry and edgy and they'll be rough and it'll be not a good thing. They'll get in your way. And I think anger and anxiety are a bit like that. Without some strategy for trimming our nails, if you will, without a plan for doing that, it gets out of control. And I think no one else can help us with those emotions that are really our own. No one else can do those things for us. It's really our responsibility to have some kind of plan or to be aware, conscious of our tendency toward those things.
Right. Okay. Well, then, as we know that and how it tends to be, what are some strategies to help us plan for those times when, you know, the anger or the anxiety may be ramping up in our lives?
Well, I think I'd like to go back to Jenny a bit because she really taught me some things as we talked. She got more agitated as she spoke about her anger and her unhappiness with her husband for thinking it was out of line, etc. She gave off more and more energy that was strong and defensive. And I could just feel myself shrinking even as we talked about her anger. And I thought that was an interesting response on my behalf, because I think that's what anger does to people. It either pushes them to heighten their external energy or they heighten the internal. And so I talked with her about that. And I asked, one question I asked her is if she uses a lot of caffeine. And she was very quick to say, oh, yes, I love coffee.
Right.
And I drink a lot of it. And I said, and do you exercise often or frequently on a regular basis? And she said, no, not really.
Yeah.
So there were, you know, there were things about her life that were increasing her energy in a negative way that she could change. She could change her exercise pattern to include more of something that will actually help that tendency toward high energy directed at others would give it an avenue that's more healthy and also reduce her energy, her irritability factor, just by reducing her caffeine intake. And that was a hard thing for her to consider, but she did do something about it. And we talked later, and it was interesting to hear her report because she had seen some differences, but it was it continued to be a tendency. It's like that fingernail thing again. You know, you don't remove your fingernails.
Right.
You need them. You just have to kind of contend with them or they'll cause you problems.
Right. So I guess then, as we wrap up our time today, Sandra, if I could, it would seem then that in this case, you know, this woman came to you and she talked with you and you provided some insight and then she proceeded to do that. So if someone is going through these cycles or these situations and they are being told by family members or friends, hey, look, you know, you're dealing with a lot of anger or anxiety, it's wise for them to recognize the counsel of a friend and go to someone that they can get help from.
That's a good place to start. That's true, Scott. It's a very good place to begin, particularly to some friend who you feel safe with, who really has shown their care for you over time and you can just be real honest with.
The This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.